morning. Just got to hear some truth from the Bible this morning about the Lord Jesus Christ, about his love for us, about the great God that is the creator, designer. The Bible says in Genesis 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Everything that we see around us is given to us by God. In fact, the Bible says every good gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That's a wonderful thing today to stop and to consider the love of God. Like the Bible says in John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, praise God today, somebody could be somebody that's far away from God, and yet God in his mercy is reaching out in love to that person. God does not hate us. God does not despise us. God loves us. God does not like our sin. Our sin is what separated us from him. Back in the Garden of Eden, God said to Adam and Eve, the day thou eatest of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil is the day that thou shalt surely die. Very sadly, you and I have done what Adam and Eve did, and we have transgressed God's law. The Bible says sin is the transgression of the law. We can do that by things that we do, things that we say, things that we think. Any time that we violate God's law in that way, we have sinned against God. The problem with that is the Bible says in Romans 6:23, it says, for the wages of sin is death. You know, I'm thankful that that verse doesn't stop there, but that that verse goes on to say, for the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Praise God that he loves us. Praise God that he made a way for us to be forgiven. You know, you and I could try our best to get rid of our sins this morning, but there's nothing that we could do. Somebody could think, right, you know, I'll become religious, I'll do some good things, you know, and hope that that takes away the bad that's in me. The problem with that is there's no way to cleanse our hearts except by the grace of God, except by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. And so it's only through the cross, only through what Jesus Christ did, that you and I could be forgiven. The sad thing today to me as a preacher of the Word of God is that so many people are going through their life ignorant of what Jesus Christ did for them, not taking the time to think about it. The only time that they use God's name, very sadly, is when they use it as a curse word. The only time our children hear the name of God is when they're at a football event or something like that, and somebody says, Jesus Christ, Lord, oh my God, or things like that. That's their only religious experience, very sadly. In this place, this former Christian nation, this place that used to revere God, this place that used to stop on the Lord's day and think about God, very sadly today, it's a godless nation. It's a nation where, very sadly, you got to teach the basic principles again of the Word of God. Now, praise God, God is about building foundations. The Bible says that the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Our world is doing its best to destroy the foundation. They say evolution instead of creation. They say marriage is anything you want instead of a man and a woman committed in a relationship for life. They say life doesn't matter, and yet God is the creator, designer of life. Again, what is this world doing? This world is seeking to cast off God. Why would the world do that, by the way? Why would the world turn its back on God? You know why? Because God, as creator, is also our lawgiver. He's the one that establishes what is right and what is wrong. And as lawgiver, he's also someday the judge of the world. He's the one that we're going to give an account to. Now, praise God, we can give a good account if, by the grace of God, our sins have been taken away by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But without that, someday when you stand before God, the Bible says the books are going to be opened, the dead are going to be judged out of the things which are written therein according to their works. Every lie that you've ever told, every time you've ever lusted, coveted, or hated, or despised, or mocked, or disobeyed parents, anything that we've done that breaks God's law on that day is going to be held against us at that tribunal that God is going to have with us as we stand before him. The Bible calls that the Great White Throne Judgment. It speaks about it in the book of Revelation. If you've never read about it, I encourage you to pick up a Bible, read that last book of the Bible, and see what God said about that coming day. A lot of people today laugh about God. A lot of people today mock God. They curse God. They despise God. But on that day, as they stand before a holy God, their mouth will be silent. Their heart will tremble with fear as they recognize that for all their life, they lived as if there was no God, and yet they stand before that God at that judgment. A lot of people say to me, well, Ben, you know, that works for you because you believe it. Now, can I say this today? It doesn't matter what you believe. What matters is what's true. What matters today, you better believe in gravity. If you're standing up at the crags and you're about ready to step off the front of the crags, you better believe in gravity because that could save your life. I say to you today, you might as well believe in God because that could save your life. You might as well put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ because that could save your life. The worst thing about somebody that rejects God is that they cast off forever their opportunity to have saving faith, their opportunity to be saved. That's why the Bible says, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Again, why is that so foolish? That's like somebody that's perishing in a fire, running from the firemen, or despising the firemen. It's like somebody that needs to be saved or rescued out in the frozen forest, pushing away the person that comes down that wilderness with a helicopter that's there to save them. That's what a person is today that turns their back on God, that begins to live as if there is no God. They have turned their back on the only way of salvation. I praise God today. If my Savior was here, there'd be tears in his eyes. He would weep for the people of Scotland. He would say what he said to those Jewish people that he loved. He said, how often would I have gathered thee together as a mother hen doth gather her chicks under her wings, but ye would not. Oh, it's a sad thing today again. So many people despise God. You might say to me, well, Ben, why is that? Well, here's what the Word of God says. It says, Jesus Christ is light. And it says this, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. They wanted their sin. They wanted their sensuality. They wanted their drugs, their drinks, their smoking, their cursing, their carousing. They desired those things. And to have those things, they had to turn their back on a holy God, a God of love. Now again, I praise God today that God in his love continues to reach out. That God in his mercy today continues to speak to people. A lot of people at the funeral, they want to have that shepherd psalm read, Psalm 23, which says, the Lord is my shepherd. Oh, that's a nice thing to have at a funeral, but I tell you this, it's hypocritical to have that at the funeral of somebody that has lived their life against God. It's hypocritical to have that at the funeral of somebody that never thought about God, never gave God the time of day in their life. To think that somehow at their funeral, reading Psalm 23, is going to benefit them or that there's anything that can be done to help them into the paradise that God desired for them. I'll tell you this, friend, when somebody enters into eternity, it is too late to find God. The Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die, but after that, the judgment. Everybody has to be ready for that day. You know, we only get so many days. I just preached on the days of our life at church this past Sunday. Interestingly, I'm in something like 17,200 days in my life at this point. Every day is a gift from God. The breath that I breathe is given to me by a loving God. But if that God takes away my breath, I die. I stand before God. At that point, it's time to give an account for my life. Every single one of us has to be ready for that day. Nobody has to plead ignorance on that day. God's given us the Bible that tells us everything that there is to know about God. Anybody that could read it themselves. Anybody that can listen to an audiobook can listen to the Word of God themselves. God's given us an abundance of truth in God's creation. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. I look at you today and I say you're designed. I do not say you just happened. I do not say an explosion made you. I look at you, you're designed. All around the world, there are people with two eyes, two ears, one nose, one mouth, and they're all the same. Why is that? Because evolution is absolutely not true, but there's a God in heaven that is true. There is a God that designed us. The Bible says that in the image of God made he man. God did not make us like the animals. God made us distinctly different from the animals. I see people today, praise God, you're wearing clothes. If we're animals, we'd be like animals. We'd walk around, I guess, in our fur. But that's not the way we are today because God designed us. And we're moral people. We understand that nakedness is shameful. And we understand that we need to put clothes on. Why? Because we're not animals. We have hospitals. Why? Because we're not animals. We have police. Because we're not animals. We have schools of higher education. Why? Because we're not animals. We are human beings created in the image of God. God gave us knowledge. God gave us understanding. God gave us souls that we're not like an animal going to the ground. We have a soul that is an eternal soul that God gave to us. I'll tell you this today. You are not your body. Your body is a vessel that carries your soul. Your soul is that eternal part of you that is the real you. How do I know that today? Well, listen, if you get a heart transplant, you don't get off that operating table as a different person. You get off that table as the very same person that got that new heart. Because who you are is not your body. Who you are is the eternal soul that God made you to be. But I'll tell you this, the Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And it's not speaking about a temporal death. It's speaking about an eternity in the lake of fire. If you were to ask me today, Ben, what's the worst thing about hell? I'd tell you this. The worst thing about hell is that hell's eternal. Hell's eternal. You never get a second chance. You never get a do-over. You never get to go back and say, I'd like to do it again. You get one chance in this life to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. When you die, it's forever too late. If you were to ask me again, Ben, what else is bad about hell? I tell you this, God is not there. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians, the everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. The worst thing about hell is that God is absolutely not there. Somebody can cry out in hell, say, "Dear God, save me," and it's forever too late. Now, praise God, in this life, it's not too late. It's somebody today in their heart of hearts would recognize that the loving Savior, Jesus Christ, died on the cross for their sin. They could this day have God's gift of everlasting life. But when somebody's in hell, they cannot cry out for mercy because it's too late for mercy. All they have in hell for all eternity is the judgment of God. And again, people laugh at that, they mock that, they curse that. So I'll tell you this, friend, nobody in Maui is laughing about fires. Nobody in California is laughing about fires. Nobody that's been in an earthly fire laughs about fires because fires mean torment, fires mean fear. And I'll tell you this, hell is an eternal fire. God does not want you to go there. God in His mercy sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your sin. Why? Because John 3:16 is true, and I praise God it's true this morning. The Bible says this, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." Why would God do that? Why would the Son of God go to that old rugged cross, die stripped as a thief, and when He's a righteous man, a holy man, a perfect man, why would He do that? Why would He willingly lay down His life? You know why Jesus Christ did that? Jesus Christ did that because He loves us. Jesus Christ did that because He cares for us. Well, I praise God today that you're on the heart of God. You might think, today, Ben, nobody loves me. Nobody cares about me. I'm all on my own. You don't know how my life's been. Everything's been against me. I'll just tell you this. There's a God that's for you. There's a God that loves you. There's a God that cares for you. There's people passing by today. We don't know it, but in the heart of hearts, they contemplated suicide. They thought about ending it all. They thought this life is not worth living. And I'll tell you this, if you're living your life without God in this world, it's not worth living. But with God in this world, God gives the grace that's necessary to live life. You might have no hope today, but there's a God of hope. There's a God of peace. The Bible says about Jesus Christ, He is the Prince of Peace. He's the one that can get that inner satisfaction, that calmness that is desired. You know, if you said to me, Ben, how do you know this world wants peace? Well, why else would they waste their money for a drink that defiles them, brings immorality and other ungodliness into life, hurts their marriage, hurts their family? Why would they do that if they're not seeking something? Why would somebody today do drugs that destroys their mind, destroys relationships, destroys their finance? Why would they do that? Because they're seeking a peace in that thing. But I'll tell you this, peace is not in drugs, peace is not in immorality, peace is not in addiction, peace is not in anything but in God. There is a peace that God can give. It's a peace that passes understanding, the Bible speaks about. It's a peace that will take you from deathbed into eternity calmly in the arms of Almighty God. And people could laugh at that as they did at the Lord Jesus Christ as He died on the cross for their sin. I'll just tell you this today, that the loving God in heaven would look down at a person like that today and say the same things that the Lord Jesus Christ said on the cross as He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I'm looking at people today, many of whom are godless, many of whom never take the time to think about God, never take the time to spend any time in the Bible. I'll tell you this, that there's a God in heaven that's there for them, that there's a God in heaven that would bring them to saving faith, that they would pick up a Bible and begin to seek God. The Bible tells us that in God's precious book, it says, "If you seek me, you shall find me, if you search with all your heart." I just take somebody today saying, I'll take God at His word, I'll pick up that book, that Bible, that book of all books, and begin to read it. And begin to understand the love of God. Begin to understand that Calvary is about a Savior that loves us. A Savior that died for our sin. Why did He die? The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Every time we transgress God's law, there's a judgment day coming where we'll give an account to a holy God. a God that cannot abide sin, a God that did not create sin, a God that made a perfect world, but mankind defiled this perfect world, lived a life in rebellion against God, but God in His mercy made a way through the cross. God in His mercy made a way through Jesus Christ for our sin to be forgiven. Jesus Christ, as He died, He made the way. Jesus said it this way. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." I'll tell you this, Jesus is not a way. He's not a good way. He's not the best way. Jesus Christ is the only way. Anybody that's out here today that can hear my voice, if you do not have Jesus Christ as your Savior, this one destiny for you for all eternity is that the lake of fire, hell. But God doesn't want you to go there. The Bible says, "He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life." These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that ye have everlasting life. Well, friend, do you know that today? Has there ever been a time in your life where you bowed your head before a holy God, recognized that the Son of God, Jesus Christ, died on the cross for your sins, and you personally put your faith in Jesus Christ for saving salvation? Has there ever been a time where you've been brought from death into life, as the Bible speaks about it, where in your heart of hearts you knew that the transaction was complete, that God accepted your repentance, and that God had given you, in fact, His dear Son into your heart and into your life? I'll tell you this, Jesus Christ is life. Jesus Christ does not just give life, Jesus Christ is life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. If you don't have Jesus Christ today, you don't have the abundant life that the Bible speaks about. He came that they might have life more abundantly. You might laugh at that, mock that, think your drink satisfied, drug satisfied, cursing satisfied, but it's empty, it's hollow. But I'll tell you this, Jesus Christ satisfies. There's a God in heaven that knows the innermost need of man is to walk with God, to know our Creator. The Bible says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." We need a generation that will rise up in Scotland that will think about God, think about the Bible, that will begin to open up this precious book with their children and care enough to say to their kids, "Kids, I don't maybe know that much about God, but I tell you this, I'm going to cease being a godless father, I'm going to cease being a godless brother, and we're going to get into the Bible and begin to read and to say, what does God say about eternity? What does God say about life? What does God say about marriage? What does God say about family?" Well, praise God, God has given us a manual. You know, when God designed us, God did not set us free to go on our own and just kind of figure out life. You know, there's a lot of parents that parent like that. They'll say something like this, "I just let them decide." Well, that's a very dangerous thing to do. You don't just let them decide about whether they're playing the road or not. You don't just let them decide about whether they're going to muck about and do things that are dangerous in their life. You warn them as a good parent. You say, "Look, don't go down that path because that's a path of destruction." You know, good parents pick up the book, the Bible, and says, "Kids, that's a good book. That's a book that tells you how to live a life that's not profane. That's a book that tells you how to live a life that's decent. That's a book that tells you how to make a good marriage and a good family." Well, a good parent does that for a child because they love that child. And they want that child to know that there's a God in heaven that loves them, that there's hope in life. There are young people today, they're getting into social media, they're spending hours on devices. Their parents aren't getting to spend as much time with them as the other educators that are in their life. Little children are hearing things that are defiling their hearts, defiling their mind. Very sadly today, I can tell you this, they're teaching the same things in the schools. The Scottish Parliament is promoting ungodliness in the hearts of our kids. It's time for a generation to wake up and to pick up the Bible and say, "You know what, I'm just going to be a little bit old-fashioned, and I'm going to get back to what God says about marriage. I'm going to get back to what God says about family. I'm going to get back to what God says about the rainbow that He put in the clouds, that rainbow that means my judgment with a flood will never come again. As God sees that rainbow, God says, I will extend mercy, but that rainbow is not a covering for man's sin. That rainbow does not justify man's sin. There's a holy God in heaven that looks at us today and says, "You know what? I told you what is right and what is wrong. I've given you the meter of the Word of God. I've lifted it up where people can see it and they can understand it." There's nobody today that's going to be cast into hell for all eternity that can honestly say, "I never knew about God." This world testifies that there is a God. This precious creation that God has made loudly says that there's a Creator, Designer. in the book of all books that God has given, He's told us who that Creator is, that He is Almighty God, that He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That Father loved us so much that though we despised Him, and we sinned against Him, and we turned our back against Him, that He took His precious Son, Jesus Christ, and put Him on that cross of shame for our sin. While we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Well, I praise God today for that old rugged cross. I praise God today that my Savior unashamedly loved us enough to die on that cross for our sin. I'm so thankful that He didn't look at the cross and say the price is too high. But that He looked at the cross and He looked at us and said, I love them too much to let them die in their sin. Well, I praise God today that the Son of God did that. I'm so thankful that He didn't count the cost for me. I'm so thankful that He didn't look at the cost and say, that's too high a price. I'm so thankful that He didn't let His heart be defiled by sin. But I'm thankful that the precious and holy Son of God was at Calvary's cross for me and for you. Oh, friend, do you know that today? Do you know that today? Do you know the love of God? Do you know the mercy of a holy God? Do you know that He reaches out and loves you today? He doesn't want to see your funeral and to have you stand before Him someday and to be condemned to an eternity in hell. The Bible says He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God does not desire you to be cast into a lake of fire. God does not desire you not to understand the truth of the saving power of Jesus Christ. Oh, friend, I just encourage you today to pick up a Bible. You may not know in this book where to go. Can I just encourage you to read the book of John? The Bible says in the book of John, it says, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing He might have life through His name. That precious book was given to us to testify to us of the identity of the Christ, the identity of the Messiah, the identity of the one that would suffer for our sins. That book, the book of John, was given for that very purpose. I encourage you, give God a chance. People can say to me, well, Ben, that's a big book. And it seems daunting. But I'll just tell you this, all you have to read in this book are 3 pages a day. And at 3 pages a day, you could read through this book in a year. But you don't have to read this whole book to understand the love of God. Just start in the Gospels. Begin to read about the life of Christ. Take out the precious New Testament. Begin to read it as a family. Sit down with your kids. Sit down with your spouse. Sit down with your partner. And begin to open up the Bible and say, you know what, we have sought peace in drugs and drink and sensuality and other things. But I'll tell you this, we've never sought peace through God. And begin to search for truth in the Word of God. You know, the BBC and other people, they will slander this book. They will say about this book, myths, legends, Chinese whispers, and stories and things like that. But you know what they never do is pick up this book and just search the Bible. Why? Because this book has an eternal message. This book is very clear about what it says. This book has prophecy in it that testifies before it ever took place, what would take place. And I'll tell you this, if you want some current events, read Romans chapter 1 and see what happens to a society that rejects God, because it's happening today. Read the book of Revelation in the Word of God. And read about future events, and you'll feel like you're reading current events, because we're living today in the very last days. You know, it won't be long until the judgment comes. There's a lot of people today, they believe in global warming. There's a day of heat coming, there's a day of fire coming, but I'll tell you this, the elements are going to melt with fervent heat. It's not going to be because of global warming. It's going to be because of the wrath of God unleashed against an ungodly people that have turned their back on a holy God. Oh, I pray today that something in your heart would just say, you know what, I'm going to give God a chance. I'm going to begin to get in that book, the Bible, and begin to understand who the Son of God is, who Jesus Christ is, and what He did as He died on the cross for our sin. You know, the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Scarcely for a righteous man would one die. But God commended, God demonstrated His love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, friend, do you know the love of God today? You know the mercy of God as a parent, you understand how to teach your kids the Bible. You understand to teach them the truth that there's a Savior that loved them so much that He died on the cross for their sin. Oh, I pray for a generation, again, where we'd walk by a house and hear the hymns being sung, hear the good news of the gospel on the lips of parents, people speaking again about God, not as a curse word, not because they're casting off His restraint, not because they turned their back on God to despise Him, but oh, for a generation that would get in this book and begin to seek God, a generation that would begin to understand the love of God, begin to understand the mercy of God, begin to understand the holiness of God. Even Christians in our day, sadly, don't understand the holiness of God. There's so many churches that you go to today, it's just like the world. You think you went into a nightclub, you think you went into a worldly place, and yet they have the name of Christ and the name of church about what they're doing, but it's a false prophet, it's a false church that has the world as their emblem. Jesus Christ said, the world cannot hate you, but me it hated, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. Why would God do that? God would do that because He's honest. God would do that because He seeks the truth. God would do that today because He understands that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Well, friend, God is desirous to reach you today with the truth of His Word. God does not want you to perish in your sin. God does not want you to die and to go to hell. God desires you to understand His love. If you don't believe that God loves you, you need to pick up a Bible and read about the cross, because that's all about you. Jesus Christ, when He died for the sinners in front of Him, He died for the sinners around Him, and He died for every generation of every people at every time that would live a life that is against God. Jesus Christ died so that we could be saved. I praise God for that today. Friend, I just have a question for you today. Are you 100% sure that if He died, you'd go to heaven? Because beyond a shadow of a doubt in your heart that you know that you've accepted Jesus Christ and that God has given you His gift of everlasting life. The Bible says it this way. He says, the deeds are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. It says, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Oh, for a generation that would get in the Bible. You know, very sadly today, if somebody goes to the pub, their mates pat them on the back and say, that's great. If they try drugs, they pat them on the back and say, that's great. If they're vaping, they pat them on the back and say, that's great. Where's the generation that will see somebody pick up a Bible and say, good for you, find some truth in there that will help me too. Good for you, go to church, find out about God. Very sadly in our day, if somebody picks up a Bible and goes to church, they mock them, they laugh at them, they make fun of them, they pat them on the back for doing drugs and drink and smoking and other sexual wickedness, and they say, that's great. What's wrong with that? Where's the generation I'll wake up and say, why do I have people around me, surrounding me, that pat me on the back when I do great ungodliness, but if I seek God, they make fun of me? Or for a generation that'll wake up, a generation that in their heart will begin to look up and say, you know what? It's time to seek God. It's time to encourage people to find God. It's time to look at people that are in despair and say, you know what? Maybe what you need is the Bible. Maybe what you need is a good church that preaches the Word of God and would encourage somebody to find God. Oh, for a generation like that. Father, I pray that the Spirit of God would take the truth of the Word of God and put it deep in the hearts of people today. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.